Hello, friends, and welcome to the most glorious of events, the Movie Mavericks Podcast. This outstanding program is hosted by two fine gentlemen, Jason and Trevor. Now make it so.
MovieMavericks.com.
Hey, guys. Welcome to episode 279. Oh, my goodness. I'm Trevor. I'm sitting here with Jason. He's got a rundown.
I'm almost thrown off by that intro. We haven't used it in so long.
I know, me too. I was like, ooh, I forgot there was a little
a little extra wah pedal to make your night good. Yeah, it threw me off that. I missed my cue. But hey, we're here, and we're doing it as we normally do. We've done this so many times, so you guys should know the rundown by now. We do the box office ace prediction game. We give you a little bit of trivia. Then Trevor and I talk about a little bit of news bit here and there, and then we get into the reviews, which is the meat of the show. And today we're talking about Aloha, Mission Impossible, Outcast, Dracula Untold, and While We're Young. We got some great streaming online picks for you guys, and the trailer section is really, I think, a special one because there's a lot of good stuff. We got Ride Along 2, Hateful Eight, and Blurt. Blurt
would be
the Paul Blurt Bart,
would be something else.
Semi-crossover.
I don't know.
Crossover.
Really, I think that would be the Seth Rogen one, Blurt.
Yeah, right, because they would just be chefs that were smoking weed all day. Sounds like my kind of movie. But hey, let's get into this box office ace game.
It's not a question of enough, pal. It's a zero-sum game. Somebody wins, somebody loses.
Let's play the HSX.com box office prediction game.
Okie dokie. So,
before we get into the meat of the show, I think we should give people the real rundown that you and I are doing this in sweltering heat. We are giving you this show in a goddamn heat wave.
Like a fat little pig over here just sweating my ass off. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. I got a good butt sap going. So, I think we're ready for
this. This is the
show.
California drought, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, there isn't. Being controlled by the bad guy from fucking Mad Max.
I've seriously felt like I was on the other side of the mountains. You know, I felt like I was in Arizona or Nevada. It's ridiculous.
Well, I'm in Northern California. You're in Southern, and you're stealing my water, so I want it back. Yeah, we'll get to that civil war later. Let's move on and talk about the box office because this is one thing we can't agree on: is that the man from Uncle has no relatives. This thing, nobody showed up. Nobody showed up. This thing bombed.
It didn't. But I'm happy that I changed all my numbers and I beat you.
You fucking weasel.
I
went
beat
in
you.
After the show and changed those numbers.
I changed them Thursday night. I looked at it and I thought, I put 14 million. Let's do 13.5. Fucking perfect.
This is the guy that I said last week, hey, this out of Compton movie, this could go up to 60 million. He goes, you don't got the balls to put 60 million. It felt like Jack Nicholson and A Few Good Men. Yeah. And I didn't. I stuck with my 48 gun, even though I felt like jumping to 55, which would have been right on target with estimations.
That's 56 now. Right?
Yeah, so I'm here anywhere between 55 and 57. So Compton is an unqualified hit, and Universal is having a hell of a year, although everybody's riding their nuts.
$2 billion,
but let's not forget the costly errors they've also had this year with Black Hat, Seventh Son, and a couple other notable failures. But
you know what? I don't think those failures stack up. And plus, that's just Universal, right? You kind of expected. I'm happy that this is happening for them, that they're making all this money, because all this means is that we're going to get another Riddick film, because they're going to be willing to make that mistake, you know?
I think once Fast and Furious climbed over $1.5 billion, they were like, okay, let's greenlight three more Riddick movies to get him to do two more Fast and Furious movies. Coincidentally, Fast and Furious 7 is still the highest grossing film in the history of China. It's made $390 million there. That's more than the Avengers has made there. Any other comparable Jurassic World, any other comparable title from the summer or this year, it's the third or fourth highest ever grossing.
It's probably not as much as Jackie Chan has made. So,
but the fact of the matter is it's made like 1.3 outside the States, and even the Avengers or Jurassic World haven't hit those numbers. So it's unbelievable.
Well, it's an anomaly.
So let's talk about this coming week, because I'm a little confused.
I'm so high. This is hard.
We got American Ultra, and most people have never even heard of American Ultra. They've done a terrible job marketing this movie. It looks like the Bourne Identity.
Oh, they're marketing this?
Well, they do have a one sheet that is so unoriginal.
Who are they marketing this to? Who's putting this out?
Is this
Lionsgate or is it Relativity? It's someone like that. It's got to be.
Or Focus. It's a mini major. This isn't anybody.
It's probably CBS Films.
Well, the marketing campaign, it would suggest that, because there's no imagination going into this. And they look like.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the most glorious of events, the Movie Mavericks Podcast. This outstanding program is hosted by two fine gentlemen, Jason and Trevor. Now make it so.
MovieMavericks.com.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 279. Oh my goodness. I'm Trevor. I'm sitting here with Jason. He's got a rundown.
I'm almost thrown off by that intro. We haven't used it in so long.
I know, me too. I was like, ooh, I forgot there was a little
a little extra wah pedal to make your night good. Yeah, threw me off there. I missed my cue. But hey, we're here, and we're doing it as we normally do. We've done this so many times, so you guys should know the rundown by now. We do the box office ace prediction game. We give you a little bit of trivia. Then Trevor and I talk about a little bit of news bit here and there, and then we get into the reviews, which is the meat of the show. And today we're talking about Aloha, Mission Impossible, Outcast, Dracula Untold, and While We're Young. We got some great streaming online picks for you guys, and the trailer section is really, I think, a special one because there's a lot of good stuff. We got Ride Along to Hateful Eight and Blurt. Blurt would be the Paul
Blurt
Bart,
would be something else.
Semi-
I don't know.
Crossover.
Really, I think that would be the Seth Rogen one, Blurt.
Yeah, right, because they would just be chefs that were smoking weed all day. Sounds like my kind of movie. But hey, let's get into this box office ace game.
It's not a question of enough, pal. It's a zero-sum game. Somebody wins, somebody loses.
Let's play the HSX.com box office prediction game.
Okie dokie. So,
before we get into the meat of the show, I think we should give people the real rundown that you and I are doing this in sweltering heat. We are giving you the show in a goddamn heat wave.
Like a fat little pig over here just sweating my ass off. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. I got a good butt sap going. So, I think we're ready for
this. This is the
show.
California drought, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, there isn't. Being controlled by the bad guy from fucking Mad Max.
I've seriously felt like I was on the other side of the mountains. You know, I felt like I was in Arizona or Nevada. It's ridiculous.
Well, I'm in Northern California. You're in Southern, and you're stealing my water, so I want it back. Yeah, we'll get to that civil war later. Let's move on and talk about the box office, because this is the one thing we can't agree on, is that the man from Uncle has no relatives. This thing, nobody showed up. Nobody showed up. This thing bombed.
It didn't. But I'm happy that I changed all my numbers and I beat you.
You fucking weasel.
I
went
beat
in
you.
After the show and changed those numbers.
I changed them Thursday night. I looked at it and I thought, I put $14 million. Let's do $13.5 million. Fucking perfect.
This is the guy that I said last week, hey, this Out of Compton movie, this could go up to $60 million. He goes, you don't got the balls to put $60 million. It felt like Jack Nicholson and A Few Good Men. Yeah. And I didn't. I stuck with my 48 gun, even though I felt like jumping to 55, which would have been right on target with estimations.
That's 56 now.
Yeah, so I'm here anywhere between 55 and 57. So Compton is an unqualified hit, and Universal is having a hell of a year, although everybody's riding their nuts.
$2 billion,
but let's not forget the costly errors they've also had this year with Black Hat, Seventh Son, and a couple other notable failures. But
you know what? I don't think those failures stack up. And plus, that's just Universal, right? You kind of expected. I'm happy that this is happening for them, that they're making all this money, because all this means is that we're going to get another Riddick film, because they're going to be willing to make that mistake, you know?
I think once Fast and Furious climbed over $1.5 billion, they were like, okay, let's greenlight three more Riddick movies to get him to do two more Fast and Furious movies. Coincidentally, Fast and Furious 7 is still the highest grossing film in the history of China. It's made $390 million there. That's more than the Avengers has made there. Any other comparable Jurassic World, any other comparable title from the summer or this year, it's the third or fourth highest ever grossing.
It's probably not as much as Jackie Chan has made. So,
but the fact of the matter is it's made like 1.3 outside the States, and even the Avengers or Jurassic World haven't hit those numbers. So it's unbelievable.
Well, it's an anomaly.
So let's talk about this coming week, because I'm a little confused.
I'm so high. This is hard.
We got American Ultra, and most people have never even heard of American Ultra. They've done a terrible job marketing this movie. It looks like the Bourne
Identity. They're marketing this?
Well, they do have a one sheet that is so unoriginal.
Who are they marketing this to? Who's putting this out?
Is this
Lionsgate or is it Relativity? It's someone like that. It's got to be.
Or Focus. It's a mini major. This isn't anybody.
It's probably CBS Films.
Well, the marketing campaign, it would suggest that, because there's no imagination going into this. And they look like they might have something here.
What are you saying? I mean, everything this time around has a high theater count. So apparently there's nothing out.
I didn't check the bar even on this son of a bitch. I'm just
the bar
go.
Is at 15.
For this?
It has a high theater count.
Oh, those are empty theaters.
Well, they will be, sure, no matter what, even at 15.
Yeah, I go 6.
Oh, wow. Right now I'm at 13.5. Wow, 6. Ooh, okay.
Yeah, 1-6. on that. So next we have Hitman Agent 47, which once again I'm confused about because the Hitman quote-unquote franchise is starting to resemble the Punisher franchise in which that they keep switching lead actors every time out and they do soft reboots. And
well, this has been so long, right? I mean, switching actors, dude, who gives a shit? It's not like you really loved Elephant as this guy.
That you called Timothy Olyphant Elephant.
You really want him back in here?
It's better than who the fuck is this guy in here? This is like the Transporter movie. These things are all starting to blur.
I don't remember where this guy's from, but he's from something.
But he can stay
there. I think
he's
from TV something. Oh, he's fine. I actually think this looks pretty decent. If I was to watch this at home, I might be relatively surprised.
It might ring up there with the Transporter 2, a guilty pleasure, but
I think it actually looks pretty slick.
This looks like a bad Statham. So I'm good
with
this.
I disagree completely with that bad Statham. This looks like – is there such a thing as bad Statham? This just looks like a very slick movie. I would watch this action movie. It's not going to be anything spectacular.
Where's the bar at on it? The
bar is a 10.
Okay, that's a fair
no. bar. What was the other movie? Yeah, the bar is at 10 for this. I believe this is the highest theater count as well. It's like 3,100 or something.
Yeah, I go lower on that than this. Better. I go 7 on this.
Yeah, I'm going to go 9.
Okay, so we're a little bit apart on now. That. Sinister 2, I think, is actually the hardest to guess for the weekend.
Oh, I'm
going to
change my
one,
shit, man.
I know you are, you weasel. You're going to do it before Thursday night, aren't you?
Thursday night coming. I'm already waiting for Thursday night. I'm keeping my peepers open. I'm looking. I'm taking in all the box office.
You need to adjust those numbers so I can figure out where I lay, because I'm not sure where I'm at in this game right now.
You don't lay with me, that's what I'll tell you that much.
Who's bed if your boot's been under? Okay. Sinister 2, though, is looking to be not as big of a hit as the first one, and I think it's going to have a decent opening, but this has been a tough year for horror. Really, no horror films have jumped out and really took hold like we had last year, numerous ones. So.
Where are you going? The first one opened at 18. What do you think?
I think I'm going to go 11 for this.
No, okay. I'd put in 15, but really that's just a placeholder because I have no idea.
So where are you going?
15.
All right, yeah, until Thursday night. So get over to boxoffice.com, boxofficeace.com. Don't go to boxoffice.com. Fuck them. Go to boxofficeace.com. We like them because it's us. But, hey, get over there and get your predictions in. You can do it up until Thursday night, and even on Thursday night you can be like Trevor and change them at the last minute, even though he said it wasn't going to go over 40. I want you to know that. You changed it.
You took the bait.
You had your little bait and switch on me.
No, I had no idea. I just, I'll switch. You know, this doesn't always work. I often switch, and then I lose big time. It's like gambling, right?
It's not like gambling. It's nothing like gambling. We don't have to talk about that. It's gambling and addiction. This is it.
You're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. Like, fuck, I should have switched it. Fuck, why did I switch it?
You know how many times I'm using that word on the site. So, yeah, go to Box Office Ace and complicate your life. Let me give you some trivia tonight, all right?
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So what is the movie with the most uses of the word fuck to win the Best Picture Oscar? So, basically, what is the most profane movie to ever win the Best Picture
Oscar? It has to be – it won. The Scorsese movie.
Which is? You can't give me a half answer.
It's got Matt Damon and Mark Wahlberg in it.
I don't give a shit. What you're basically doing is an algebra. You're giving me the answer and not showing me your work. If I'm your teacher, I'm not accepting that answer. You know
I can't remember the name.
Well, I mean, then I can't justify your answer.
That's not my fault.
If you can't remember the name of the film, it doesn't really qualify.
The Departed. Oh, got it.
You're right. The Departed is the most profane movie to ever win the Oscar for Best Picture, which doesn't surprise me because Wall Street is the most profane movie ever, and that was nominated for Best Picture, so that would have been.
You got to pick one that's really weird next time.
Really weird, huh? You can't even remember the part. I remember the name of it. Something really weird.
But I knew it.
You're like, the answer to that is My Own Private Idaho. I'm like, how the fuck do you remember that? You can't remember the
part. I knew it. It was in my head.
It was bouncing around.
It just took a while to get out.
It did. It worked
way
out.
That's how Matt Damon works. You know, he gets in there, he drills in deep.
It's like an earwig. You did good. You did real good, son. All right, what are we talking about today? Well, we got a few things to talk about. Did you know that they're making a Kindergarten Cop 2? And not only are they making it, they started shooting this week. And not only they started shooting, Dolph Lundgren is in the lead.
Dolph Lundgren.
How did this happen?
Yeah, this just sounds horrible.
Who put this together? Millennium?
I don't know. Why are you asking me?
I love the fact that we've had...
You brought
these,
it up.
You did bring it up, man. It's like a weird guy talking to you in a bar. You know they're making a Kindergarten Cop 2? Got Dolph Lundgren. Like, okay, sir. Thank you for telling me that.
I
would counter that with saying, you know, there's a Tooth Fairy 2 with Larry the Cable Guy?
Yeah, well, that's basically what this is, right?
Exactly. And they did a
It's weird, though, to... Yeah, well, it must be only because it's Dolph. That's the only thing I could think of. Why else would you? How else would you get this made? Right, you wouldn't get it made with anyone else nowadays.
I think you got about as good a chance getting it made with Arnold Schwarzenegger after the Terminator fiasco as you do with Dolph. Really, I mean, this
because it's coming straight to video.
I wonder if this actually has anything to do with the first one, or if it's just somewhat related. They're just throwing the title on there.
I read the thing. It just says they go to the school. They're trying to get back a flash drive. Ooh,
how high tech! A flash drive.
Yeah, I mean, if you remember, the original is fantastic because his partner, who's a woman, is supposed to go in to be the sub, and she gets sick, and then he has to go do it. So this one feels like it's missing the comedy. It's just going to be more of an action thing where he has to pretend to be the teacher to go in and get a flash drive for something. I don't know.
Well, it is coming at you, and it's going to be starting Dolph Lundgren. We like Dolph. We've interviewed Dolph, and he's a good guy, so... I'll be seeing this, but it does sound like Larry the Cable Guy's foray into the sequelitis.
Yeah.
All right, what else we got? We got Colin Trevorrow. Trevorrow? I don't know. Have we decided? I'm just calling Trevorrow? This guy CT.
Trevorrow?
Trevorrow just sounds like he's sad and like, I'll see you tomorrow land.
Well, he might be.
Was he born?
Although I don't think he's sad at all. He's one of the few guys who has made a quick name for himself, right? Ran off Jurassic World, but... He's proven that he's going to be one of our big directors, right? Clearly, the guy's now taken over Star Wars Episode 9. He can work within the system and somehow can get his own stamp on the movies. I haven't seen Jurassic World yet, but from what you've told me, this is true.
Not only that, I would agree with everything you said there, and I would also say that he was lucky to be in the hands of Spielberg and Frank and Kathleen
Exactly.
Kennedy. Someone who gave him some time to nurture that story.
Oh, someone with a backbone that'll be able to back him up to the studios as well, yeah, which is very important. As we saw with Josh Trank, who
he's the antithesis.
Totally got screwed, yeah.
And unfortunately, the Trank story stands in stark contrast to the Trevorrow ascendance. You know, it's a year of two different... filmmakers, and they both came from that indie film world. And you look at a guy like I think his name's John Wyatt, who made Cop Car. Have you seen Cop Car, by the way? The Kevin
I
Bacon
haven't
clip?
Seen it yet.
I've seen a majority of it, and I'm pretty impressed. I don't want to do a full review.
Looks really good.
My next show, but it's similar to Mud in a lot of ways. So I'm curious to see what he's going to do with that Spider-Man franchise because they keep going indie, and some of these things, you know, are pop and some don't. So. Trevorrow has been has a hell of an eye for things and some nostalgia. How awesome is it to make a Jurassic Park movie and a Star Wars movie? I mean, this guy.
Yeah, and you guaranteed the Star Wars is going to make a lot of money. Please. Once he's done this Jurassic World movie, he can do whatever he wants. And now doing a Star Wars movie, this guy is just lining up to do what the most expensive art movie
Eat
ever.
Tickets. Yeah.
Like he's just like yeah, he's really really racking it up.
You know, just totally a task that just spends you because Gore Verbinski, who was this guy 10 years ago, and look what happened when he completed The Pirates. He was done. You know what I mean? Like these guys walk away from these things for a long time. But if he can stay within this world and really keep working with Spielberg in a lot of indirect ways, I mean, I'm sure Spielberg is going to have a say one way or another on his Star Wars movie. Who knows? He could be the next guy lining up with the Indiana Jones franchise.
I mean, I doubt they'd have anything to do with Spielberg. On Star Wars.
What do you think about Beetlejuice 2 coming at you? What do you think about this?
I think it's interesting. I guess. Why not? No one else on that movie's doing anything.
It makes perfect sense.
Who's directing
it? Burton's back.
Oh, he's coming back. Okay. Well, then fuck it. I'm down if you think I want to do that. Because what's the worst that could happen? It's shitty, but then it's just going to disappear, right? So give it a shot.
I say if they're making Alice Through the Looking Glass, the official sequel to.
That's true.
If they're making that, go ahead. Give me a Beetlejuice 2. I'd rather see that than the Jungle Book, Favreau's new film, even though I like some of the stuff he does. And particularly, I don't want to see an Alice 2, which will probably make $1 billion fucking
Pete's
dollars.
Pete's Dragon. Yeah, they are remaking all those old Disney movies. Why not?
So give me this
that.
Stuff. So I wouldn't mind Beetlejuice 2. Winona Ryder's
Ghostbusters they're doing,
happening.
Yeah.
I told somebody last night, somebody I'm friends with didn't know they were making Ghostbusters. And somebody said, yeah, man, they should never make Ghostbusters. And I said, they are remaking it. And I said, with an all-female cast. Now, my friend had been drinking for a while. He looked at me with such a disgusted look on his face. He was like, what?
They did a good job casting it, though.
It's the fact of...
It's weird. It's really fucking weird, though, when you hear that, isn't it?
Yes.
It's very off-putting. But when you see a picture of the cast, they actually did a really good job casting it.
It's just a strange concept. You wouldn't reboot Wayne's World with two girls.
Well, I tell you, yeah, exactly. We still don't know if it works.
Hey, what do you think? A Tina Fey, Amy Poehler reboot of Wayne's World? Think it'll work?
Yeah, I know. It would be horrible. It could be better than the... Well...
Wendy's World?
It could be better than Wayne's World, too. So,
if what isn't? I think like Father Like
So, you know, to be fair, okay, there's already a chink in the armor here.
Yeah, you said it. I didn't.
Yeah, excuse me. Oh, there was an Indian. That was the second one had an Indian in it, not a chink.
Yeah, exactly. He was crying.
I was wrong. Right. Yeah.
This is the spirit guide. Okay, right, what else we got here? Tomorrowland. Star Wars Land.
Yeah, Disney. They're building Star Wars parks onto Disney World and Disneyland.
Yeah, so they have immersive Star Wars experience.
You could fly the Millennium Falcon.
We knew this was coming when Disney bought the property for $4 billion. So,
and when they bought up property around the theme parks as well, and they have so much land in Florida, but they're buying up land in L.A. too, so good Lord.
And today it was a whopping 107 degrees on the Disneyland grounds, I saw. So
was it? Wow.
I can't wait for you all to take your kids there. Stand in lines for 4 hours.
It's so full right now. They make so much money off that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, of course. And these movies are just
It's crazy.
So yeah, like I read it. Did you read the Deadline article today on Deadline.com? There was a good article with Bart. And Fleming, you know I'm talking about that call.
Yeah, I love that. Sundays.
Reminds me of the Sunday Morning Shootout, which I was a big fan of back in school when you and I used to watch.
Right, and they do that every Sunday, so.
Yeah, so it's kind of in that tradition. But it's a good article to read if you're out there. You should check it out on Deadline.com on Sundays. But they were talking today about the opening of Star Wars Land and how no pressure on J.J. Abrams to launch now this mega franchise. But I thought that was kind of not true because I think that it's a win-win for Abrams on this movie. He can't fail with this thing. There's no way they're going to let this movie. Even if it's terrible, this thing makes $1.5 billion. I mean, look at the Avengers. Is the Avengers going to be remembered at the end of the summer?
You would hope so, but, you know, I'm not that. You would hope that Star Wars would make a lot of money no matter what, right? Or they would. But considering how... You know, really, some I don't know. It's so different nowadays. Because before, when you look at the last trilogy of Star Wars that came out, fairly lackluster, like as compared to a lot of crazy shit that's happened just in the past 5 years, right?
Right.
With movies that you wouldn't even like, what the fuck is this? Coming out of Jurassic World, right? Just coming out of nowhere. So I don't know what the fuck to expect with these Star Wars movies.
You can expect more and more merchandising and Disney-related experiences because this will not stop. Avengers, I'm sure they're going to start doing something with that, particularly if the Captain America
one thing's for sure, the Star Wars movies will be probably a lot like the Marvel movies because they've learned a lot from that, and they'll sell like fucking gangbusters. Just look at Ant-Man.
Ant-Man, which has crossed $330 million worldwide, pretty much guaranteeing a
sequel. This is ridiculous. It's Ant-Man.
So read that column, by the way, because they talk about Ant-Man.
I try to read those. Those are very good.
Franchises are worthy of
that's the current guy who runs Deadline.com, Deadline Hollywood. And then also it's Peter Bart, right, who used to run Variety.
I think he still writes for Variety.
Does he do?
Variety, but I think he's editor-in-chief, maybe. I'm not really sure.
I don't think anymore. I thought he was. I don't know. Anyway, okay, very insightful. Okay.
Let's break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about some movies here. We got some good ones.
This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Hello, everybody. On behalf of Nick, Joe, and Vern, we would like to invite you back for a brand new season of the As You Watch podcast.
In our upcoming season, we will be talking about franchises, trilogies, and series of movies that you will recognize and some that you may not.
It's Joe!
We will also continue to post fun and insightful interviews with many people in the world of entertainment, as well as feature a lot of great guests from other sites and podcasts.
That's Vern.
So be sure to check us out on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Podomatic, and on Facebook.
And don't forget to check out our older episodes on our site, asyouwatch.wordpress.com.
Joe Giuliano. There he was.
They're the ace of the box office. He, ace.
That son of a bitch.
That son of a bitch.
They're actually recording right. Probably not right now, but they did record an episode today. Their first episode. Though, so As You Watch is back. If anyone listens,
check
to
them
that.
Out. Check out their friends of
they're
ours.
Doing, so they're doing a the Compton movie review and I guess music movies. I don't know.
A lot of good music movies.
Yeah.
I particularly liked you see Get On Up? I kind of like that one.
No, because I'm just so burnt out on that stuff. Ever since Ray, I'm just kind of...
It took me a long time to see Ray and Walk the Line, so I can understand.
Really? I liked Walk the Line, but even then, both those movies just burnt me out on that stuff. I don't know why.
Is it fucked up that I like Dewey Cox more than any of those movies?
No, but yeah, I know. Well, exactly. That's kind of where I am. So I don't know. That's why I didn't watch it, because I just figured there's nothing new in there.
Well, that's really what I thought about my movie that I'm going to talk about here, Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. I thought I was really done with this franchise after the last installment. And I don't know if it's because I saw it in the great theater that had reclining sofas, no shit, or the fact that the movie was just fucking awesome. But I loved this movie. I think it's my favorite Mission Impossible since the second one. I know I'm alone in my praise of that one. So I'll say maybe I'm the odd man out with the series, but I really, really like this one. I feel like they finally got the formula that they've been fucking with since part three, with the Abrams intro into the series, 3, 4, mm-hmm. and now 5 feel like they're one trilogy in a sense. And I feel like they finally got that formula to work. This is the first time I ever thought the team interaction and the humor was organic and not just thrown
which
in there.
Which they tried so hard on the fourth one, and I thought it didn't work at all.
I
didn't mind it in the third one because it wasn't front and center. But in that fourth one, they really beat you in the face with it, and it didn't work at all. So it works this time.
It absolutely works this time, and I'm surprised because I didn't think McQuarrie was this strong of a director, but this thing is assuredly put together. There are some beautiful set pieces here. It's so oddly constructed, though. I got to get this out of the way. It's the first hour is extremely action-heavy, and then it goes into this kind of exposition plot-esque for about 30 minutes, and then you get a nice 20-minute ending, which is extremely clever, but it does not end with a bang, which some people are leaving a little bad taste in their mouth. But I thought the way it was done was so, organic to the way that this whole thing is supposed to be done, using their brains as opposed to the one-man aspect, which they've gone way far away from. I mean, Ethan Hunt is still a rogue guy on his own, sure, a lot of the time, but he does rely on these guys. They've made a good thing, but they're making Jeremy Renner more of an M type personality, so all talks about him taking over the series.
So he's like
really
an old
bullshit
lady.
Kind of their Q, not Q, but M. He's kind a bureaucratic both guy. He's the guy that's dealing with the bureaucrats.
Yeah, sure. He's like the boss. He's like Charlie.
Exactly. Long story short, I really like this one, and I highly, highly recommend Rogue Nation.
Cool.
Yeah, so there's my soapbox. I'll be down now. What are you seeing over there?
I don't know. Let me pull the list. You know what I saw that's not on the list that I'll talk about is Harbinger Down.
Yeah, let's talk about that one. They sent us a screener of that. How was it?
Yeah, this is a movie that came out a week ago or something like that, I think. It's not very good, which pains me to say because these were the guys. The whole point of this movie is when they did the remake of The Thing, they did some really great special effects on it, puppetry and, real life stuff that they got replaced by CGI.
Yeah.
And so these guys were, upset with that, clearly. And why not? Because all their work got taken out. And that's a horrible story that we continually hear throughout Hollywood. and so they set out to make their own version of The Thing and put their special effects in. That's basically Harbinger Down is The Thing. Takes place on a ship that's out in the Arctic, and they uncover a Russian craft that has fallen beneath the ice, and they uncover it, and it has this monster thing on it, just like The Thing, and it can turn into you and do all that same shit.
So how could they fuck that up if it's a thing? The thing's awesome.
It's shot extremely poorly. The special effects are great. If you want to see a bad version of The Thing that's worse than the remake, watch Harbinger Down.
That's disappointing because the story behind fuck it up. I thought the story was nice.
It's real bad. Yeah, the story's great behind it, right? And you're almost go in just swinging for him, like, yeah, all right, let's see this, take that. And then it's kind of, the story's not there. They obviously did no work whatsoever on direction and script writing and stuff. And then even the special effects are a little bit here and there, you know, so.
What about While We're Young? You said you saw this earlier in the week, and I'm a little jealous because this has been on my list to watch, and I have not gotten around to it. So this is the Ben Stiller, midlife crisis movie.
Another Noah Baumbach movie.
He's a really underrated filmmaker. I like a lot of his work. I think The Squid and the Whale is one of the most quietly devastating movies I've ever seen.
Well, and even Greenberg, obviously another Ben Stiller collaboration. But yeah, just a wonderful movie. I really loved it. See this movie. It's fantastic. It's really about disillusionment, you know, and that's the theme running throughout the movie. Whatever these guys get into, they ultimately become disillusioned with, right? Uh-huh. And it's new, and so they kind of get enthralled with this younger couple. And all their old friends have kids and stuff, and they don't have kids, so they're kind of in the middle. They don't really fit in anywhere. And just a great movie.
It was the writing.
It's everything. The acting's fantastic. The writing's great. You know, the story. It weaves a tale that you wouldn't expect. You don't really know where it's going, but it's always moving somewhere, and it has purpose. You know, everything has purpose, even though it's a little weird. And there's so much being said in just one scene. It's pretty incredible, I thought.
It's interesting that you say that because Baumbach is the kind of writer that I would equate. It's a strange, strange comparison, but Cameron Crowe had that kind of stuff in his best work. Mm-hmm. And which pains me to talk about the next movie, which is Aloha, which I think is arguably his worst film ever. I mean, this thing is so poor. I'm
still
talking about
a
guy you're swinging you up there and you want him to get out of the park.
Every time, I love him. Yes.
So do I even like We Bought a Zoo and some of his lesser work. I mean, some people say, well, since Vanilla Sky,
I love
he's
We Bought
really
a
gone
Zoo.
In the shitter. But I can find things in every Cameron Crowe
movie. I like
movie.
Vanilla Sky. I liked even the ones I hate.
And very few movies ever will be as good as Almost Famous. Any movie, it's in rarefied air. So I go up to bat for this guy, and this movie is, even with this talented cast, with Rachel McAdams, who you just want to fall in love with whenever she's playing anything, with Bradley Cooper, who I actually like as an actor and can follow him into a lot of places. Emma Stone is appealing. John Krasinski, they all are in there, but it's so fucking muddled and it makes no sense. And it goes on these strange tangents. And at one point, Bill Murray turns out to be some sort of villainous type character who wants to put a nuclear payload in space. And you're thinking, what the fuck just happened to this movie? Besides the fact that there's zero chemistry going on with all these attractive and talented people with this great dialogue. And it's almost like if somebody found this footage of Crows and put it together without his knowledge. I know that didn't happen. He had every hand in this. But it's not calibrated. It's almost out of sync. It's not right. The shots are fucked up. It's too close at times. I just really disliked this movie, and I wanted to like it, and I kept giving it chances, and there would be a speck here and a speck there of Crowe's magic and his writing and maybe a hint in the performances that they were all on the right page. But the ending is so, so miscalculated that it brought laugh. I mean, I laughed at it. I couldn't help but laugh at it, and it's supposed to be this emotional thing, and it's almost like in a spoof movie when they show you the big Hollywood moment, you know, that's that moment, and it's embarrassing to all involved, including myself watching it. So
do they have the swelling music
and the run out of the shot with the big hug?
Did it
in the street? I can't wait for you to see this. We can get into it a little further because that thing is really just a jewel of miscalculation and bad direction. But speaking of those two adjectives, let's talk about Outcast, that new Nicolas Cage, Hayden Christensen direct-to-video movie.
I don't even know if it's new, right? This thing's like a year old. But yeah, it's finally out on Netflix. It is not one of my streaming picks. But if you so want to watch it, feel free. It's not horrible. It really plays like a C-movie action movie. Budget? Not really a budget. The budget's on the screen, but it's low budget. It's horrible, I guess. I don't know. It's hard
Cage
to explain because
front
it's
center or is Cage?
Oh no, he's hardly in it. Yeah, it's all
Christensen.
Yeah, kind of. It's so muddled. It starts off with the conquests, so it starts in the Middle East, and these guys are
and the Crusades, there?
Crusades guys, yeah, and or well, yeah, they are, and they're fighting Middle Eastern guys, and they kill them, and Nicolas Cage is like his mentor, Hayden Christensen's mentor, and but then he leaves. They become disillusioned. I don't. They get into this whole fight thing. I don't fucking know.
This movie sounds terrible.
Oh god! Well, it hasn't even started. No, I haven't even explained it to you.
I'm done with the movie already.
And then we go to the Far East. No, smash cut to the Far East. There's fucking Chinamen everywhere.
Why are we in the Far East?
This guy, I don't know. Well, this movie takes place actually in the Far East, in China. So it's, yeah, it's weird already, right? So there's a Chinese emperor, and he's sick and dying, and he has two sons, one that's very young, but he wants him to become king, and then the other older one who's been the general of his army and fighting. And so the general comes back, he's like, oh, you're sick. He's like, okay, whatever. And he kills the dad, and he tries to take the throne. But then the young emperor runs away, and he takes the seal, the king's seal, and not the seal, but you know, the seal.
The walrus.
Yeah, the seal. Yeah, the walrus would be better, but the, you know, the seal. Yeah, where you stamp shit, and apparently you need that, because without that you cannot be king, even if you overthrow the government. So that's important to remember. Well, if you're ever in a position of you need the seal. You need the stamp thing. Yeah.
Ah, I was mistaken. So,
yeah, whoever has that, you know, that's it. Well, and so that's what the movie's about. And so they're out, he runs after his little brother to get this seal thing, and they run into Hayden Christensen, and he protects them. And then Nicolas Cage shows back up later on, and he, you know, gets in it. And then
a habit to stay away from Hayden Christensen movies.
And then it ends. And Nicolas Cage talks is like a surfer.
Really?
He's like, whoa. Let's fight people.
That is a good Keanu Reeves impersonation you're doing of Nicolas Cage doing a Keanu Reeves impersonation.
It's like this weird. Well, he's not really. I don't know what the hell he's doing, but every once in a while he slips into Keanu Reeves mode.
I like it.
And it's weird.
I don't know.
It's not good.
I'm actually more intrigued now than I was before. Just
it's like Nicolas Cage trying to do something, but somehow, like, he becomes. It's just him, but. Like when he pushes it a little bit more, it becomes Keanu Reeves. It's weird. he must have watched Seventh Son before this movie. Is what
he
I'm thinking.
To the director, I'm gonna not only act like a surfer.
He watched Seventh Son. He's like that. What the dude is doing? That's what I'm gonna do in this movie.
Yeah, he's trying to beat Jeff Bridges for most outlandish. What's up with Dracula Untold? This is one I've been putting off as well. Although I like Luke Evans, and the production values on this look like a step above. Is this a franchise waiting to happen, or is this just something?
You know what? Well, this is probably, you know, DOA at this point, right? It didn't make
it did well
money.
Outside the States. It really did well.
Yeah, I still don't think that means anything. This is
Sony's looking
not,
for anything.
Possibly, but I don't think they're tearing it up to make a sequel to this. But it was actually pretty good. It plays like very straightforward, low-budget horror action movie. And just surprisingly decently shot, well acted, and you know, the straightforwardness of it. Not, it didn't try to do anything stupid. I mean, this thing is so cookie cutter Hollywood, hour and a half, three act setup. You can literally tell when events are happening how far into the movie you are. You're like, oh yes, this should happen right at about this time in the movie, and yes, we are at that time
in
the movie.
That exact experience.
It's fucking perfect.
Earlier today, which I'm not gonna talk about because I haven't finished it, but I thought 10 minutes, 25 minutes.
Yep,
so
that's
hour.
Exactly how this is. Yeah, so it's in that sense, it was enjoyable, you know, and it's an hour and a fucking half. Oh my god, thank you. Holy shit, if this was 2 hours, 220, for fuck's sake.
I appreciate the quickie. As a theater goer, I appreciate the quickie.
Because I'll not all movies need to be that.
Fuck yes.
You know, you're going to tell Dracula Untold? Good God, it should be 92 minutes long.
Yeah, I agree.
The Hobbit movie should have been. This was better than any of the Hobbit movies, only because it was 92 minutes long.
Oh, my God. What do you have as a streaming online pick this week? What do you got there?
I will say If I Stay, which just went streaming, which isn't... I say just because it, for the amount of big movies that go streaming, there's almost nothing. And it was a good movie. If you like Hallmark-ish family movies, it's basically what it is. And then, what was it? Looking for a Friend at the End of the World?
Seeking a Friend?
Seeking a Friend for the End of the World? Shit, I don't know. It's a long-ass thing. Check it out. Steve Carell, Keira Knightley, who I love. Great fucking movie.
Yeah, you were big on this one. I still haven't seen either of these, so I'll check them both out. And my streaming online pick is Fletch, because this thing is an ass kicker. I talked about this a couple weeks ago. I think this is the funniest movie of Chevy Chase's career, and I have nothing else that is recent enough on here to recommend, because everything else has been shite on here. So
It's really been pretty bad. I don't know. This month does not look so good.
This does not bode well for us on the streaming here. Let's talk about these trailers. Let's jump in. Where's the captain at? Get our glove front and center. Engage up.
Trailers can be wondrous things, giving us insight into the unseen movies of the future. But when they're bad, fire photon torpedoes. Shields up, red alert. Prepare for Trailer Addict.
Okie dokie.
Now we got a lot of trailers.
Where do you want to start? I want to start
at the top with the big little man. I want to talk about Ride Along 2, which I think looks funnier than the first one.
Can that be possible?
Is it? Yeah, right. So I thought that this thing is, maybe it's because they finally built
the only thing I hate. But I hate the idea that he's a cop. Was he a cop in the first one?
He wanted to be a cop.
He wanted to be a cop. Is that what it was? Damn.
Yeah, so he finally gets
I really hate the idea that, yeah, he's a cop now.
I just think it's funny, so easy. They're moving it to Miami. Well, of course, because they're the brothers-in-law. I mean, that's the whole gag here. That's the punchline.
Sure. But it's so easy to get him back into the mix if he's a cop again.
But I thought it was funny how they played the beginning as like a Fast and Furious type situation, especially with the Universal logo, the cars, Tyrese there, Ice Cube pulling up, and you got Kevin Hart come bumping up, you know, getting out of the car. His shtick is worn thin in certain situations, but I thought the Wedding Ringer was entertaining enough, and I really like him in this so far. So,
yeah, I think this looks funny, and I bet Tim Story is laughing at Fox.
Yeah, for fucking with his Fantastic Four franchise.
Got another sequel here, yeah. Eat it. All right, whatever.
All right, let's talk about Burnt, this Bradley Cooper serious drama.
You mean Blurnt?
Burnt, the Blurnt movie. Paul Blurnt. But Burnt is Bradley Cooper's another shot. It looks like Oscar glory, because this looks like the kind of film that will get recognized by the Academy if it's as good as this trailer. This trailer's cut together extremely well with sound design and pacing and whatnot. And really? I'm not a big – I thought so. I was really kind of into this.
I'm going to be honest how I felt about this.
Please do.
This is one of the problems that we have, is the idea of movies need to be serious nowadays, and that's just what this feels like, right? It's like fucking, you know, the Batman of Burnt now. I don't get it. He's a chef. What? This is a cooking movie, but this guy is going to be a drug addict, and he's not going to be able to handle it. And go. It's like, what the fuck? What? Why? Wow. There's too many things in one thing. You don't need to, and people are throwing shit, and then it's all, I don't understand the point of it. Is this a true story?
No, but it is directed by Stephen Knight. So it's definitely going to be an intense film.
I don't know. I don't get it. I will say it looks well made, but I just don't. I think I don't like the idea.
Well, good, because I don't like the idea of our next movie we're going to talk about. A Walk in the Woods with Robert Redford and Nick Nolte.
I love the idea.
These two old fucking
characters. Why don't you like this? This looks great.
This looks great to you? This looks like Las Vegas, Grumpy Old Men, and Bucket
List. It looks way better than all those.
Oh, this looks terrible. You really like this trailer?
I'm ready to watch this.
No.
In the comfort of my own home. I haven't watched this in theaters. This is definitely not a theater movie.
This looks bad, man.
It looks like fun for a fun outing. Some old guys having to get along together.
This looks like
hiking the Appalachian Trail.
I can't believe this is being made into a movie and being released. I saw this and thought, like, there's every beat. Yep, there's that. There's that. There's that. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's fine. I don't.
It just felt.
Really, you didn't feel that in the fucking Blurnt?
Not really.
I mean,
no.
Give me a break. Please.
I was into the trailer. This one I just thought was
You can certainly feel the beats. Actually, you've seen the fucking movie. Well, you've seen every fucking movie.
Yeah, well, they
once you watch these trailers.
Some of these trailers.
God, that's horrible. But at the same time, what would we talk about?
The Hateful Eight teaser dropped this week, and it announces it's the eighth film from Quentin Tarantino, and it gloriously suggests that...
That's the eight? So it's a lot of eight going on here, huh?
Yeah, it's... It's so... It very much in the tradition of Tarantino stuff, but I gotta tell you, I'm not won over by this teaser, really. And I know his movies don't cut together all that well for teaser stuff and trailer stuff, but because I didn't really like the trailer for Django. I thought that was off-putting and ended up really liking that as well as his other films. So did you feel – I mean, for, like I said to you off air, the what is eating Kurt Russell's face? He looks like fucking – he should be a
cuss. Like it. I like this. You know, I'm not a huge fan of pre-Kill Bill Tarantino stuff. Kill Bill and afterwards I love. So the fact that he's going to redo Reservoir Dogs and the style that he's doing now, I'm fucking in. You know, and it looks great, and people look fucking crazy, and I love it. I love Jennifer Jason Leigh's, you know, hanging thing. I laughed out loud when she waved and had the hang thing and all that shit. So, and everyone, you know, there's funky dialogue, and the whole thing. I think it looks great.
I did like the little macabre moment where she did the hanging noose thing, but once again, these things don't cut that well as trailers. And I'm glad you brought up Reservoir Dogs. This is essentially Reservoir Dogs. Or a play. I mean, this had a stage reading at one point, and that's very apt because this is a one-location type situation. But great idea for a Tarantino movie. Have them all staring in one area. And I thought the best sequence in Inglourious Basterds was the bar scene. So he does these kind of things very well.
Sure, or the opening.
Right.
I mean, all takes place in this one place. So, but that's what you're getting at, really, when you talk about, because if you look at that movie's trailers and stuff, he does do little vignettes, you know, throughout the entire movie that don't cut well together. There'll be like a jarring difference from one scene to the next, right?
I want to see this documentary about Jake the Snake Roberts. I didn't even know they were making this.
The resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts. Oh, my God. I love Jake the Snake Roberts. This is my favorite, not my favorite wrestler, but my favorite name as a kid. Right? Jake the Snake Roberts. It's like, and he has a snake. Like, it doesn't let you down.
No, let you down. This man never let me down when I was a kid. This man, that's Mean Gene. He'll fucking tell you.
Yes.
This is the kind of thing, though. I mean, I saw this as an extended clip on HBO's Real Sports where they talked to him and they had Diamond Dallas Page on there, and he was trying to get Rico Ramon and Snake here,
which is all
rehabilitated.
In this.
So this looks like they are going to follow him a little bit more extensively in that journey. And I believe when they were interviewing, they were saying, "Oh, he's being followed around by a documentary crew." So this is going to take his addiction a little bit more in depth. But this man was at the pit of lows, and I don't know how much he's worked himself back into any sort of normality, but he needed it badly. What I saw.
Yeah, well, you watch this trailer. You can tell he ain't doing so well.
Yeah, the snake. The most impressive thing about this trailer was that snake bit Randy Macho Man Savage. I don't recall that, but that looked like a fucking hurt.
They bit him? Yeah, I do remember that.
That son of a bitch bit.
When the boas or whatever he had, when the constrictors bite like that, I guess I've heard that it can go to the bone because they can clamp so hard on you.
Well, I had a fucking dog bite my knee today. How's that?
Your knee. Yeah, please. You probably accidentally clipped its front tooth with your knee as you walked by.
Yeah, he had more gene than me. I'm telling you, if that dog was bigger, you'd take it out of my ankle.
Oh, shit.
Fucker. All right, let's move on and talk about Trumbo. The Dalton Trumbo movie, which is starring Bryan Cranston, coming out this November. This looks like another one of those pat yourself on the back. You got a Golden Globe nomination coming towards your van. But, like... this could be Hollywood Land great, or this could be really forgettable.
You know, Argo. Argo, 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 right? Are we saying anything else? Once they made Argo, and there's another movie, Pawn Sacrifice, we'll talk about a little bit, Argo, Argo, Argo. Once that fucking Argo movie came out, I got a slew of them.
Let's talk about Pawn Sacrifice briefly, because that does look good. I think that looks better than Trumbo.
I think they both look excellent. I think you're crazy to try to put them... you know, put them in a ring together and have them fight it out. I don't know why. I think neither one of them win. They're both weak, but
I think Trumbo.
It's like Glass Joe fighting Glass Joe, but I think they both look very good. You're right. Trumbo's very.
I'd have paid pay-per-view to see Glass Joe.
Trumbo's very like
11-47 versus Hollywood.
It would be a lot like watching the last Ronda Rousey fight, except they would both knock each other out.
But Trumbo looks like it'll be interesting because they're going to work the Hollywood lore in there, especially with Kirk Douglas and him working on Spartacus together, which was, you know, an allegory.
Sure, for- and John Goodman's in it because he was in Argo.
Makes sense. And John Goodman's in every third movie.
But it still looks good. You're right. It's a Jay Roach directed it, so you know it's going to be somewhat funny at least. And move. His stuff tends to move.
The Han Sacrifice movie, the about Bobby Fischer going and playing the Russian champion, Liv Schreiber, I thought that worked as a trailer. It worked better than the Spielberg one that we
this
talked about.
Tobey Maguire.
The Bridge of Spies. I thought this worked a little bit better. The whole idea that, like, we're going over there with one mission, but it's really two or three other things that we're doing, and subterfuge. And Maguire looks – who annoyed the shit out of me in the last couple movies he did, particularly Great Gatsby, looks like he may have tapped into something here that might be working. This trailer didn't work for you at all?
Yeah, it was fine. It was just – it's just Argo. You know, it looks like Argo. It sounds like Argo. It might as well be Argo.
Yeah, it moves like that. If it walks like a talking dog.
Even though it's, you know, the Cold War, I don't know. I don't know. They'll both be good, I think.
Well, Sleeping with Other People. I saw the Red Band trailer on this. Did you see this one? Or
I didn't see the Red Band trailer. Was that a little juicier?
It's a little bit juicier. I didn't find this trailer all that great. Yeah. I thought there were moments in it that were okay, but I thought
I gotta be honest. The review, what they put on the screen for what the reviews were saying, I was like, where? What movie is that? Because this is not the trailer for that movie, right?
Yeah, I thought Jason Sudeikis was kind of flipping this. I thought the girl was writing. Sounded like a guy was saying her lines. Sounded like a man wrote those lines. Which is strange because this was written and directed by a woman.
Yeah.
But it just was really – some of this came off as really bad or things that I just seen better in other movies.
Yeah, I will see this because I tend to watch these types of movies, but I don't – there might be a sleeper in here, but it certainly isn't in the trailer. Yeah,
I'll say I'm surprised that you're saying that because this is right up your alley movie-wise. So I thought you'd be all over this. Well, let's talk about Sicario. You like that? Sicario. I've been working on it all night. My Puerto Rican buddy told me that.
Just Sicario.
I said, we're watching Sicario. He's talking about the hitman. I'm like, what the fuck? You knew what that was about?
It means hitman. Didn't you watch the trailer?
Well, I knew that after I watched the trailer, but he told me this previous.
Oh, wow, he already knew.
That. Did you know that before the trailer?
He was already in on it. No, fuck no.
He's a Sicario.
The hell would I know?
Well, this trailer looks good, though. And this is Traffic Part 2, right? No?
Yeah. This looks like the True Detective season 2 that we wanted.
Exactly.
I think this looks amazing to me. Emily Blunt looks great in this. You know, Josh Brolin looks great. And Benicio Del Toro looks fucking awesome.
Yeah, I like the shot where she was coming up washing the blood off her face and the shot. I mean, that was some great imagery in this movie. Even with Benicio Del Toro has a great – I mean, the shot in this reminded me of Traffic, but he's just got a great film of a face because he can do nothing and he looks like he's doing a lot of thinking and soul searching. You know, he's got that kind of look. Yeah. But he's laying there against the window as they're driving with the reflection. I thought that's a Michael Mann, Soderbergh-esque shot.
And this feels very much like this, right? It does feel a lot like Traffic, yeah.
To this, I mean, that opening scene where they just demolished the house. This is a. It also feels like what they were trying to do was Sabotage. That Schwarzenegger.
Yes,
David
I Ayer know. Movie. I was going to kind of say David Ayer's a little bit in this too. Mm-hmm.
But this looks like it's going to be a lot more successful than that last one, the Ayer's one. Yeah, so I think we had actually some good trailers on the show today. Crazy. Hollywood's doing good shit now. We got the fall coming out. We got a lot of heavy stuff coming out.
I don't know. We'll see.
Well, that wraps up episode 279. We want to thank you guys for hanging with us on this episode. As always, you can go to iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever else you may get your podcast. Listen to all of our back episodes. We also go to moviemavericks.com, get the latest review of movies and the back episodes of the podcast. Go to Box Office Ace, play the game against Trevor and I, and you probably will be doing better than Trevor and I at this point. I think you beat me last week, though. So, are you going to weasel? Are you going to switch your numbers again by Thursday?
Probably.
He's going to weasel on me.
I'm going to try it again.
All right. The weaseler. I like it. It worked once for you. Try it again. That a boy.
Oh, yeah.
Spoken like a true 10-year-old. It worked once. I'm going to do it again. Well, all right, guys. That's going to do it for our episode. We want to thank you, as always, for joining us and supporting the Movie Mavericks. Speaking for Trevor Anderson, I'm Jason Rugard, and we are the Movie Mavericks.
Thank you for listening to the Movie Mavericks podcast.
Are you Candy Asa still here? Beat it! The show's over! The big man has left the building!